This has been bugging me the whole time. So we're just going to take care of it now. But while I'm at it, easy, hold on. The answer is only one, but it really has to want to change. How many cops does it take to change a light bulb? Well, it's none. It turns itself in. Get it? You guys love these, I can tell. I'm smashing it already. How many church members does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Thank you. That's good. All right, here's a Christmas one. How many reindeer does it take to change a light bulb? It takes 8. 1 to screw it in and 7 to hold Rudolph down. Everybody loves these jokes. Okay, maybe not everybody. I'm like trying Jedi mind tricks. You love these jokes. Everybody loves these jokes, but here's one that you never hear, which is, how many light bulbs does it take to change a light bulb? Deep. The reality is, it's impossible. Yes, I know, Samuel, good try trying to answer it. The reality is that it cannot change itself. So when Christians celebrate at Christmas, we celebrate exactly that Jesus, the Bible calls the light of the world, was sent by God to change us from the inside out. Why? Because we were made for the light, but we live in darkness, and we cannot change ourselves. So the Bible says this about it. We're going to put it up on the screen. This is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. You know, all through the Bible, story after story, and all through human history, you find so many stories of people trying to do their own things in order to change themselves. Have you seen that? In fact, way back at the very beginning, in the early part of the Bible, there's a group of people that move away from the place that God had given them, and they say, you know what we could do? We've got new technology, an amazing new technology called bricks. And we've got amazing, excellent communication. So why don't we build ourselves a great city with a really, really tall tower? You know, let's build it up, a great city and a tall tower, and we'll make a name for ourselves. That's what they decide to do. And God takes a look, and he looks down, and he says, I think I know a better way for people to live than for people to strive to make themselves great. But they can't do it themselves, so I'll do it for them. The Bible's full of examples of people trying to go up to God to become great on their own. But the reality is, they're made for the light, but they live in darkness, and they cannot change themselves. Another story later on in the Bible is about a homeless, well, he ends up being homeless. He's a traveler, but his name is Jacob, and he's running away from family trouble, and he ends up with nowhere to go. He's got nothing but a pillow, which is a rock underneath his head. And he lays down to go to sleep one evening and has a dream about a ladder. And on this ladder, there's angels moving up and down. And at the very top of the ladder, he can see God. And God has a promise for him. He says, Jacob, I'm going to be your God, and I'm going to make your family great. And I want to give you this land, and I want to be with you. And he says, all the people on earth will be blessed through you and through your family, and I will be with you wherever you go. And that blessing for all peoples includes the future people, like us, people here, wherever you were born, whatever country you're from, whatever culture you're from. God wanted to bless through this man sleeping out under the stars, having a dream about God at the top of the ladder that he could never climb up. And as true as the promises were, and as true as that message was from God, the best that Jacob could get of God in that moment was a dream. God at the top of a ladder that he could never climb. God had a better way for Jacob and his future family to live. The Bible is full of examples of people trying to go up to God because we're made for the light, but we find ourselves in darkness and we can't change ourselves. Over and over again, the Bible and in our own lives points out the story. It just sort of plays over and over again. People pulling themselves together to try to live a moral and good life. Some of us are like the people trying to build the big city and the great tower in our own effort. You know, we try the moral way. We want to use our innovation and our efforts and our intellect. And some of us are like this homeless runaway Jacob, dreaming of a God who remains at the top of a ladder that we cannot climb. In fact, this became such a familiar pattern in the Bible that Jacob's family, generations later, they have a song about it. You know, one of their songs is actually, it mentions how incredibly hard it is to get up to this high and holy God. And the song kind of has a lyric that goes like this. Who can go up the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? It asks these haunting questions. Who can get up to God? And the answer is only the one that has clean hands and a pure heart. And I'm sure they sang it, Jacob's family, I'm sure they sang it with a little bit of heartache and sadness, maybe tears burning in their eyes, realizing that they would never have hands that were clean enough. They would never have a heart that was pure enough. Who can climb up the ladder to stand with God in his perfect and holy place? Only the one with a pure heart and innocent hands. But even as they sang the song, God had a better way for Jacob and his future family, and that includes us, because we were meant for the light, but we're trapped in darkness, and we cannot change ourselves. I have a better way, God says. And he whispers it all through the pages of the Bible. He shouts it to us in our own lives. He says, I will be your great city and your tower. He says, I will be with you, not just in a dream at the top of the ladder. I will come down to the bottom of the ladder and meet you there. He says, I'll send my only son, the full expression of my love. And he'll take on human flesh and move into your neighborhood. And I have a better way for you to live, God says. I'll send my son to be a light in the midst of your darkness. I'll send him on a rescue mission to transfer you from darkness into light. And so, on a cold winter night, in a quiet town, in the back of someone's overcrowded Airbnb where they kept the animals, God's love came down, and Jesus the King was born. Emmanuel, God with us. He came all the way down to the bottom of the ladder. And scripture puts it like this. This is how God showed his love to us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to die in our place, wiping away all of our wrongdoings. Scripture says it again like this, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior came, when it appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. Friends, this is love. This is This is God's love. We don't have to climb to the top of the ladder for God's love. His love came down, and when he came like us. He came helpless and small. He came in need of shelter and protection. He gave up all the privilege of being God's only son in heaven to grow up in a working class family scraping to get by. He knew what it was like to live without money, to learn a trade, to work hard. And he grew up experiencing all of the things of life that we know, the annoying family irritations, the betrayal of friends, and deep loss. He grew up knowing it all. He came down into our human experience and showed us a better way to live. So C.S. Lewis, the author of the Chronicles of Narnia, he puts it like this. I just love this quote. Sorry about the ladder, but it works. In the Christian story, God comes down, down from the heights of absolute being into time and space, down into humanity, down further still to the very roots and seedbed of nature that he created. But he goes down to come up again and bring the whole ruined world with him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to die in our place, to wipe away all of our wrongdoings. Motivated by God's love, Jesus lived a perfect life to show us a better way to live. He was the one with the clean hands and the pure heart that could go up the hill to God's holy place, the one that his people had been singing about for so long. And look at the way he loved people. He was always on the lookout for the little guys. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He welcomed in the lowly and the outcast. And he loved confronting the religious bullies. But he didn't stop there. He went all the way to the cross to suffer a horrible death, the full weight of a punishment that we deserved, and he endured it in our place in order to save us. The Bible says, and Christians believe, that Jesus defeated darkness on the cross, and then he defeated death itself in the grave, returning to live forever through the power of the living God. Why would he do this? Because he knew that we were meant to live in the light, and that we had found ourselves in darkness, and that we could not change ourselves. He saved us, the scripture says, not because of the righteous things that we had done, all of our good attempts to get up the ladder to God, but because of his mercy. So this changes the way that we live. The Bible says this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. I can tell you today that my life is radically changed because of it's different because of the love of God at work in me through Jesus. And I don't get it all perfect. People who know me know that. But living through Jesus changes my perspective on what's important. It reorders my priorities about my time and my resources and my relationships. In short, it's the life of forgiveness and freedom. But don't just take it from me. Ask anybody here tonight whose light has flickered back on because of the touch of Jesus Christ in a life of faith. Ask them what it's meant to them and how their life is different as a result. So how do we respond to God's gift of mercy? I think the shepherds always lead the way. You know, you can't sing a Christmas carol or have a reading of the Christmas story without getting to these shepherds up on the hill watching their flocks by night, right? And what happens? Angels come and they sing to them and they proclaim this good news. And what do they sing? They sing two things. They sing, glory to God in the highest at the top of the ladder. But what else do they sing? And peace. Peace on earth. Peace and goodwill to all people. The angels sing it to them, and the shepherds don't waste any time. They don't waste any time. They drop everything. And what do? They run down the hill, down into Bethlehem, down into the streets and the alleys, down into the straw and the hay, down onto their knees in worship and adoration. To see glory to God in the lowest. Love came down. So the shepherds show the way. That's their response. What will your response be? See, my friends, you were made to reflect the light of God's glory, but you've lost your way in the darkness, and you cannot change yourself. But for each of us, for all of us, God has a better way of living, and the better way of living is to live in hope that there's one who came into the world to meet us in the mess of our human condition, to shine a light into our darkness, to change us when we couldn't change ourselves. So this Christmas, when you climb to the top of a ladder to put the tree star on top of the tree or to get your Christmas lights up or to take them down, or maybe on Christmas morning when you're just standing in excitement at the top of the stairs, looking down, ready to go downstairs to open gifts, take a moment to remember that God, in his great love, created you to be a light that reflects his great light. And when he saw that that light had fallen into darkness, he knew that you were helpless to do anything to change yourself. But in his great love, he sent his son Jesus to be a light to the world, to show us a better way to live, to defeat darkness, the darkness of our sin through his death on the cross, and to defeat death itself by returning to life. All of this to do what we could not do for ourselves and to change us from the inside out. My friends, I want to invite you to open your minds to belief in this Jesus and open your hearts to respond to Jesus, the light of the world. God's love came down.